The Story of Mert and Mort. Marge's desperate attempt to help Mert has ended in trouble. After the show, Mert and Marge were called to Captain O'Toole's office. The captain has discovered that the button had been re-sewn on Mert's letter on the coat with black thread. Mert knew nothing of Marge's trick, but then Clarence revealed how Marge had accidentally cut the button off before the evening show and had sewn it back on. O'Toole forced Margie to admit it was no accident and accused her of trying to establish an alibi for Mert. The captain hinted that Marge really believed Mert killed Ray Hunt. In just a moment, we'll go on with today's chapter in the exciting story of Mert and Marge. It's a few minutes later. Jack Arnold is taking Mert and Marge home in a taxi. Marge is in tears, as he says.
Oh, Mr. Arnold, what about
Jack?
What
about Jack? Now, Margie, calm yourself. It'll be all right, don't worry. I understand, Lucille.
But what's the matter with it, Jack? What did Captain O'Toole say to her? I can't understand if she was so cheerful on the way over here. And she kept saying, I fixed it all right now, Myrtle. Everything's going to be all right now.
Everything will be, Myrtle. Now, start taking girls right home. I would like to talk to you for a few minutes. It's the first chance I've had for days.
Well, Mother will be in bed. She wake up and want to hear everything, and I just couldn't bear it, Mr. Arnold.
Well, it's quite early. It's a little after 12. Let me see now. Oh, I know a little place we can go. Way back in the corner, and nobody will be able to hear this talk. Driver, take us to Spinelli.
I wonder if Mama Mia's here this time.
Oh, she's always here.
Oh, look, there she is, Mary. Good evening, Miss Beard, Mr. Lindsay.
Good evening, Mama Mia. Do you know Mr. Arnold?
Oh, I've been here before, Myrtle.
Oh, sure. Good evening, Mr. Arnold.
Hi, Mama.
Where would I get to sit? Everyone who's gone is quite the embassy.
Right over in that corner will be all right, Mama Mia. Mm-hmm. Is it too late to get spaghetti or ravioli?
Oh, no, it's an hour too late. You can get anything.
Well, let's see. Bring us an hour past the 3 and some ravioli.
Mm-hmm.
Margie, do you want some chicken?
I wouldn't care for anything, Mr.
Mm-hmm. What's wrong with you, Margie?
I'm almost afraid to tell you, Mother.
Well, why don't you tell her, Margie? It'll make you feel better, and Myrtle will understand.
Hey, Myrtle. You know, when I see the Tuckers were down in the sewing room before the show.
Yes.
Well, I left the letter number quote to Clarence, and I remember you sent me in for it.
Yes, Margie, you brought it to me.
Well, before I brought it in for you, I asked Clarence for the scissors and pretended to accidentally cut the top button off, and it wasn't an accident.
What?
I deliberately cut it off, and then I took a meter of the black thread and sewed the black button back on the coat.
Oh, Margie, why did you do that?
Because I didn't make it look like the button had really come off and had really been sewn on yet.
Margie, you thought the button hadn't come off and that I hadn't sewed it on?
I didn't mean to. I know it came off and you wouldn't have told me. Well, you sewn it on so carefully that it didn't look as if it had ever come off. Oh, don't you understand, Myrtle? I thought it would help you.
So
what have I done, Mr. Arnold?
Nothing very
serious. It doesn't matter, honey. Because I don't think Captain O'Toole will ever believe the button came off that night anyway.
He doesn't believe. He went downstairs and saw the button on the coat.
You did throw it on, didn't you, Myrtle?
Of course,
yes. Don't you believe me?
Well, yes, but... Well, you sewed it on too carefully, Myrtle.
Well, I tried to make it look just like the others.
Which fool?
What the...
That while you were throwing it on, you were not thinking of establishing an alibi. If that old fool went for stubborn, he'd see the truth.
No, I guess I was too careful for my own good. That's what comes of doing things too well.
And Myrtle, the night of the murder, I took you and Margie home from headquarters. Now, why didn't you tell me about going down to the sewing room and sew on that button?
Well, I don't know, Jeff. I didn't think it was important. Just a little thing. I guess I was so bewildered and tired that night and so... horrified. I just couldn't think of everything. I wish I had told it.
Well, you would have had time to have taken that button off and been a little less careful when you sewed it on again.
Well, I would never have thought of that, Jack, unless I had a guilty conscience. You know, through all the excitement, I never even thought about the coat until the captain asked me where I was from the time I left the dressing room until I saw Pat coming from across the stage.
Mm-hmm. What does your lawyer, Mr. Craig, advise you to do, Mary?
Well, he tells us to be very careful what we say and how we answer questions. He seems to be more interested in trying to find out about Agnes Helen than who killed Ray Hunt.
Well, have you told him everything you know?
I haven't told him everything that's happened. All I know from the time I joined PPS Crazy 10 years ago. How could anything that happened before that have anything to do with the Hunt's death? I never even seen Hunt or heard of him before that. I scarcely knew him except as our director till the beginning of this season.
Had you ever seen Ray playing around with the girls?
No, he probably did plenty of that outside theater hours, but in the theater, he didn't seem any different than other men. You know, Jack, most men think chorus girls were born to be pawed and insulted.
Yeah.
They don't seem to realize that most chorus girls of today can hold their own in anyone's drawing room. And as for intelligence, well, they can make most debutantes look like a half-wit competing with a kid.
You're entirely right, Porter.
Oh, here's Mama Neal.
Oh, good.
You know, I guess I am a little hungry.
Oh, that's fine.
It does look awfully good, doesn't it? You have a stomach for milk. A little of vino, maybe. A present for some mama.
Oh, thank you, Mama. How about you, little?
Yes, I can do us good.
I'll have a little wine, too. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh, is that a customer up there, Mama Neal?
Yes, excuse me, please.
Well, is it cheering up, little Margie?
Yes, Mr. Arnold, it tastes real good.
Yeah, glad to see you eat, Arnold. How's your mother, Margie?
Oh, she's well. She isn't as much comfort to us as I thought she would be. She's so worried about us.
It's because of no customer.
No?
Just a good newsboy. He's been in the old morning paper.
Oh, the morning paper. Could I look at the headlines on there?
Oh, sure, Mr. Arnold. But here you are.
Thanks.
What are the papers saying, Mr. Arnold?
Yeah.
Let's see. The news says Hunt murder case still unsolved. It goes on to say that Mrs. Hunt, who has been under suspicion in connection with her husband's murder, has been given an alibi through new efforts of her own and without her knowledge. What's this?
What? Go on, Jack. What else?
Wait a minute. It says that Mrs. Hunt has stuck diligently to her story about leaving Ray's office a few minutes before 15 minutes was called. Pat Murphy, the doorman, saw her come out as he was going on the stage to deliver a telegram to Sonny Darnell.
Uh-huh.
He points out that Pat has said he wasn't sure whether or not Mrs. Hunt went directly out of the stage entrance. And how Mrs. Hunt said that she did, and how she claims to have walked to the end of the court that leads to 46th. What is it? Quote, Mr. and Mrs. L.A. Thorne, 1600 Riverside Drive, friends of Mrs. Hunt, had driven up to the curb in front of Casey Oaks Theater. James Bidwell, the uniformed starter in front of the theater, opened the car door for Mr. Thorne, who went directly to the box office to pick up two tickets that had been reserved for the evening performance.
Yeah.
Mrs. Thorne said that while Mr. Thorne was in at the box office, he wondered how much time they had before curtain time, so she glanced at the clock on the dashboard of the automobile, and it was exactly 8:14. Mrs. Thorne said that when she looked up, she saw Mrs. Hunt just turning east on 45th Street. Mrs. Thorne said the window was closed on her side of the car. She tried to roll it down to call to Mrs. Hunt, but by that time, Mrs. Hunt was too far away to hear the call. Mr. Thorne says that when he came back to the car, the first thing Mrs. Thorne said to him was, I just saw Catherine Hunt turn at 45th Street toward Broadway. She doesn't look well. James Bidwell, the starter, on being questioned, said that when he opened the car door for Mr. Thorne to get back into the car, he overheard Mrs. Thorne make a remark, and that Mr. Thorne answered her with, oh, well, Catherine had engaged for him. She has been holding out on
me. Well, is that all, Jack?
Yes, but can I read it?
Oh, yes, sir.
I can't understand her fool's reading. Well, anyway. Mrs. Hunt said that after she left the theater on the night of the murder, she walked up Broadway 3 or 4 blocks and loitered on the way back looking at shop windows. Now, today, Mrs. Roberta Reed, who occupies apartment 603 on the same floor as the Hunt, voluntarily offered the information that on the night of the murder, she saw Mrs. Hunt walking north on Broadway on the west side of the street and passed her at 48th Street. She said she saw Mrs. Hunt stop to look at a half-shop window. The time, Mrs. Reed surmised, must have been around 8:20 because she was late for an appointment in front of the Castle Theater at 8:15.
Is that all it says, Jack?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't finish there. It says, these latest witnesses have been thoroughly examined by Captain O'Toole of the Homicide Squad after their information had been voluntarily given to reporters working for this newspaper.
Oh. Then that is Mrs. Hunt, doesn't it, Jack?
Yes, Myrtle, if it's all true, and also makes something else clear, too. Come on, girl, finish your supper. I'll take you home, and I have to get back to headquarters. O'Toole has got to lay down his cards. I think I know what he's trying to prove.
I do too, Jack.
Give me your hand.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be a good keeper, mate.
Yes, mate. Honest, Jack.
Suspect has been eliminated in the Ray Hunt murder case. Slowly but surely, Captain O'Toole is building his chain of evidence against Murph. Even Jack Arnold seems resigned to the success of O'Toole's efforts. What will happen? Be sure to listen to the next episode of the story of Murph and Mars. This is Andre Baruch speaking.